Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We greet you again in that wonderful name. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. As most of you know, our ministry here has been going through the book of Ephesians, and Daryl and Simon have been taking the first part of this chapter 4, and they've assigned me verses 11 through 16. This is a favorite scripture. However, it's also a very important one, and I feel rather inadequate to really look at this tremendous scripture, but by the help of the Lord, we want to look at it. First of all, I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 16, and then we want to make a few comments. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What a tremendous scripture as we think of that. Now this portion of scripture is not something that the Anabaptists made up. It's not something we as a church made up, but it's something that God inspired nearly 2,000 years ago. And praise God that this scripture that was written then through the Ephesian church is still for us today. We don't have to try to decide which part we believe. It's all of it is for us. And I praise God for it. And I trust this morning as we look at this scripture, if you are a child of God, if you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, that this scripture applies to all of us. Now, I'd like to read prior to my assignment here in the verses 9 through 11 in the NLT, New Living Translation. It says this, verse 9. Notice that it says, he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to a lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that his rule might fill the entire universe. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. I don't believe these are all the gifts that God has given to the church. We'll be sharing more about that later. As I looked at this scripture, I remembered back in the middle 70s, Brother Elmer probably could remember with me, when there was a Protestant group that did a lot of teaching about spiritual gifts. And the idea was that there are seven main spiritual gifts. And it was quite a discussion. And often when you'd meet and people would read about it, they kind of went for that. And also, I can't think of the other teaching. But anyhow, I believe that there are more than seven spiritual gifts. But I believe these gifts here are very important. And as I think of this, that Jesus Christ came down on this earth and gave his life and ministered and shed his blood that the church could be washed and cleansed. And then he also ascended into heaven and he's interceding for us. And then he also, before he ascended, gave these gifts to the church. For the purpose I have entitled my message, Growing Up into Him. And I trust that's each one of our desires as a child of God, to grow in the things of God. And now as we look at verse 12 and 13, it says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I like what one translation says. It says, for the edifying of the body of Christ, according to the vines, edifying is an act of building or the promotion of spiritual growth. And so as we think of edifying, God gave these different gifts to the church for the purpose of edifying the church and of, I believe we could say, of training, of building. And it's the NIV says this, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What a blessing as we think about that. That it is for the purpose of edifying the body of Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the seven and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Brother Simon last Sunday spoke about the seven different points of unity, and we won't be taking a lot of time on that, but I believe, as I appreciate, as it mentions here in verse 13 in the NIV, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What a blessing as we think about that. Then in verse 14, children, as we read the scripture, did you notice that children were mentioned in this scripture? And I'd like to read this. It says, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, Paul here is saying that we should not be like children. In some areas, that is. I think Paul loved children. Jesus Christ loves children. But there are some things about children that we can learn and we can think about. I suppose you children, as you in your homes, if you have younger brothers and sisters, you've been around when there was a newborn baby. And your mother brings it home and you begin to look at it and you say, what a perfect little baby. Look at those little fingers, those little toes, those little ears. Look at all those little features. It's perfect. It's beautiful. But you know, if that child would remain that way, mom and dad would get pretty concerned. They would say there's something wrong because it remains. It needs to grow. And so therefore, children, you need to grow, and we adults need to grow spiritually. And it's evident that a lot of us have grown. Some may be faster and bigger than others. But we thank God for the gift of growing, that we don't remain the same. And as I thought of this, where it says that we henceforth be no more children, and it says tossed to and fro. Somehow I got the picture of children at home, and they got a lot of toys. And they have a toy box that's full, and the lid is shut, or they put them in the closet, wherever mom decides they need to be. And the day comes when Johnny wants to play. So he opens up the door of the toy box and he gets the toy out and he starts to play with that toy. Well, he becomes tired of it. So then he grabs another one and then he gets another one. And it depends on how many he has as to how many he might get. And somehow he forgets the training that his mom said. Before you play with the second toy, put away the first one. And so when mom comes in the living room, wherever he's playing, there's a, you know, is kind of a, can't find the word that I want. But it's a mess. You know, it's kind of, they're tossed to and fro. They're not organized. And she says, you need to put those away before you get another toy. Well, finally he starts out and finally he says, Mom, would you please come help me? I've got too many toys out here. Well, she would probably say, if you would have followed my instruction, why then you wouldn't have this problem. But we adults have that problem as well. So he's simply, so children, he's not against you, but he's simply saying that as children are active and they run to and fro, so to speak, that we as Christians, it's very important that we recognize that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and running cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But he's saying here, but we need to speak the truth in love and may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And that's very important that we recognize that. I brought a couple objects, lessons along this morning, and maybe this can be helpful to the children to understand the scripture. And I got that over here at the school. They had that, so some of you children have probably seen this before. Well, it's really not too attractive, but it's very important that we recognize what it is. It's a statue. And we'll be talking more about that later. I have the second object as well. This was made by a senior high school student for a project class in a public high school in Stanton. And after he made this and he finished his project and he brought it home, he told his father, well, he said, I guess it's of no value anymore. I finished my project. I guess I'll throw it away. And his father said, no, don't do that. He said, I'll take it to work and I'll put it up on a shelf at the office. And so that's what he did. And I go in and out of that office occasionally. So one day he had told me how his son made it. And so when I was assigned this subject, I asked him, I said, can I take that to church? And he said, yeah, you can take it to church. I don't think it's ever been to church before. But it's here this morning. And we again want to learn from this little building. It's actually copied after a storage building. But we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But this is, and then in verse 15 it says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now the psalmist in 139 verse 14 says this, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, this is a skeleton, and you can see it has a lot of different members. And so the church is depicted as a membership, as members of a body working together. And what a blessing as we think about that. So this skeleton has all kinds of members, but they are connected together. Now we have some nurses here that could probably do a much better job explaining about this creature than I could. But it has tremendous lot of members. But the beautiful thing about it, you know, I can sling this around, but it's all connected together. It doesn't come apart. Because one member is connected to the other one. And it all works together. And that's why I believe there are more gifts than just the few that he mentions here to begin with. I believe each member of Jesus Christ, of the church, receives a gift. And maybe sometimes we don't fully understand what our gift is. But I believe as children of God, we should be willing to be served in the capacity that God or the church calls us to serve in. And I think that's very important that we recognize that. But, children, that's the way you look inside. But I'm thankful that God did not leave us that way. And you might think I'm trying to promote Halloween here, but I certainly am not. I'm trying to promote the Church of Jesus Christ and its membership in working together and how uniquely we are, fearfully and wonderfully we are made. I think we should turn to 1 Corinthians 12. I hadn't planned on reading this, but then this morning I read it, and I think it's very important that we do look at the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12, begin reading in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? And now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. I was glad to see this verse on the board this morning. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I think that's as far as we'll read. But here we have a beautiful scripture about the membership, about the church as the body of Christ, and as members one of another. And how even the members that seem to be of less importance are even more important. So there's members in our body that we don't see. We've never seen them. But we know they work. And when they don't work, we have to go to a physician and find out what's wrong and see if something can be done to correct this. And in the Bible, we have instructions how to care for these bodies, this temple of the living God. We have things listed, which will be in the next chapter, of things that we should not do and things that we should do. And God has given the church instructions and how we should follow those to bring honor and glory to him. So children, remember that these different members are connected together and they make a person. I think this is probably a man here. And like I said, he's not very pretty. But if we stop and think about, we have a lot of people here this morning. We have children, we have grown-ups, and all of them look like this on the inside. But I'm glad God chose not to leave his creation this way, but he clothed it. He put flesh around us. He put skin. He put hair on some, at least. And he did a wonderful job of making us more attractive so that we need not to be ashamed. And so what a blessing as we think about that. And then the Bible speaks about being clothed with righteousness as Christians, as children of God. And God made these bodies not to be displayed, but to be covered and to bring glory to him. And it's just beautiful as we think about that. And so it is with animals as well. They also have members that are covered up. But God has put different skins on them and made them beautiful in their own way. And so we praise God for that. And as it says here in one verse here, I don't know if I can lay my eyes on it right away, but it talks about when one member suffer, other members in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I know a lot of you have heard me share this before, but a lot of the younger children I don't think have. But back, I'm not quite sure how many years ago it was, probably 30-some years ago, I was out working in my shop, and I was in a hurry to get some things done. And all of a sudden, I had plenty of time because I got my finger in a joiner and cut it off. And I learned a lot from that little difficult experience. You know, it pained. And my wife took me to the doctor and they sent me on to the hospital. And I remember telling this one nurse that I had worked for, delivered a building. She said she works in the emergency room. And I said, I hope never to see you. Well, guess what? When I came to the nurse, to the emergency room, she was the first person that I met. I was trying to walk in there, staggering, and she grabbed me on one side, another nurse on another side, and took me in and took care of it. But I remember sometime later, I went somewhere, and this dear brother who I love and appreciate, he looked at me and he said, "What's wrong?" I was carrying it up like this to keep the pain down. And I said, I cut my finger. And he looked at me and he said, "Didn't you have enough wood that you had to cut your finger?" You know, it kind of like hurt twice. But as I looked at his hands, I understood. He had never had that to happen. A few days later, I walked into a shop. And again, I had my hand up like this. And the brother looked at me and he said, "What happened?" So I told him, and as I was talking to him, I saw something happen. Tears began to come out of his eyes, down over his cheek. So I began to look at his hand. You know what? He had a finger missing. He knew what I was going through. He had experienced it. And I hear people sometimes, when there's funerals or etc., they make some comments. I said, they've not had experience yet. They've not had that happen in their life. I praise God for the church of Jesus Christ, that we can suffer with one another. But I also remember a widow lady many years ago came to me and said, "I think the church does very good in suffering with people who suffer." But she said, "I think we need more teaching on honoring, as it says here, one member be honored, all members rejoice with it." You know, I learned a lesson on that as well. I kind of wanted to make a person jealous one time by a purchase that I made. And you know what he said? "I rejoice with you." I was blessed by his response, but it also spoke to me of my need to rejoice with my brother. I remember being in another state for a week of meetings, and when I got up, I saw the son was punching his father, but I really didn't know what it was all about. After the service, the father came to me and he said, when you got up to preach, he said, my son punched me. And he said, look, Dad, his finger's missing. And I looked at the son, his finger was missing when he was just a little boy. But somehow he was able, at the distance it was, to see that my finger was gone. He had experienced it. Brothers and sisters, that's what the church is all about. Now I'd like to turn to Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like to just read a couple of verses here. Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What a beautiful scripture as we think about that. And here we have this little building. It is fitly framed together. Now, if this thing was big enough to live in, how many would you like to live in that building? I wouldn't. There's something lacking. What's lacking? It's the exterior and the interior. This building here is framed very similar to what this is. There was a whole bunch of two-by-fours and trusses and what have you laying out on the ground. And it was fitly framed together. And then there was thousands of bricks, one at a time, laid around it to preserve the frame work. And then on the inside, insulation was put in. Wallboard was put together. And so a lot of the members that are fitly framed together are no longer visible. And yet they're there. They do a wonderful job of holding the roof up, of keeping the walls standing. And what a blessing as we think about that. And being fitly framed together. As it says here, now therefore, as I think of us in the past, being strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Remember, we are the temple of the living God. We are the dwelling place of God. If we are washed, we are cleansed, and we are restored into a right relationship with him. So children, it's nice to have a building like this, but we need more than that. So we're standing inside a completed building that's members tightly joined together. But what is more important is that as members of that are connected to the head, Jesus Christ, that we work together for the glory of God. Praise God for that, and we trust that's our desire this morning, that we continue on praising God and worshiping him and serving him as God would have us to do. Now I'd like to turn yet to, can find what I was looking for here, but turn with me yet to Romans chapter 12. Let's begin reading in verse 4. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of lower estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. This morning, as we think of the Church of Jesus Christ and how it's made to function under the head, we need to remember that the body joins the head, and we recognize that the head is at the right hand of the throne of God and is interceding for us. And as the world looks today at the church, it cannot see the invisible head. It cannot see that. But there's one thing that it can see, and that is the body, the Church of Jesus Christ, and how they function with one another, and how they relate to each other. Let me tell you this morning that I believe with all my heart that the world notices us more than we recognize. And they know when we are united together, when we work together, we love each other, and we share together. And as I think of the Christian family, the home, it has a tremendous opportunity to have an impact upon the world and society in which we live. And we cannot underestimate the value and the power of doing that. In your mailboxes this morning, you will find a writing that I asked Brother Simon if I could make copies of it and put it in your mailboxes. For you visitors, I'll also have a few copies on the mailbox counter after the service if you'd like to have one of these. But I was tremendously blessed by this. It appeared, there's a few of you that get the sword and trumpet, and you'll find it in the October issue. But it was also this article was originally appeared in the May and June 2015 issue of the Keystone Mennonite Fellowship Messenger. That's the congregation that Sister June is a part of. And so I contacted them, and they told me that they pay to have it printed, but they will be gladly to let, if anybody can use it to the glory of God, We can freely print it like we want to. And so it's been a blessing to me, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I think there's some good things there for us as parents, grandparents, and also for the ministers. The title of this writing is Helping Children Love the Church. And I think that is very important. And you know, we talk with sometimes, and we laugh about it maybe, which we probably shouldn't, about having preacher for Sunday lunch. And those type of things will not help our children love the church. But it will do the other thing. And I'm concerned this morning how unimportant it seems to be to a lot of people, so-called Christians, about church membership and baptism. They think that they can just live an individual Christian life. But I believe this morning you don't have to belong to a church to be saved. But I believe if you are saved, I believe God will lead you to a church if you're willing to submit yourself and to be a part of the body. Fit in to the body of Christ. Become a member and be active. Become united to other members or to other members in the building and become united with them and work and labor with them for the glory of God and to bring honor to the head under whom we serve. This morning, that is a tremendous and important message that I'd like to share with you. In verse 15 and 16, all fullness dwells in Him. The world cannot see the invisible head, but it does look upon His visible body, the church. It is of utmost importance that the body of Christ is a body that has been washed and cleansed and is connected to the head. And I think that's very important that we recognize that. None of us are complete in ourselves. This evening, we're going to have some short topics from a number of the body's members. They will be sharing about some of the church ministries. It's not their ministries, it's the church ministries. And they are one of those members that is active in doing their ministry that they felt led of or the church has called them to. And I think that's such a blessing as we think about that. Wednesday evening, I trust we will be praying, have prayed, that God's way would be just in our, we might say, our simple offices, Sunday school teachers and song leaders and et cetera. But I believe that's all part of our being united together as a church and serving together, members serving one another. And you know, some of them say, well, maybe I never have an office. But you still are a member of the church and you still have a calling. And that is to live the life, the Christian life, and bring glory to God. I don't care who we are this morning. God has a purpose and a place for us. As it says here, God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased me. No, as it pleased Him. Jesus Christ, the builder and the founder of the church. This morning, I remember, maybe I shouldn't share this, but I remember years ago, oftentimes we had evangelists. He would stay at our house. And we enjoyed this. Sometimes his wife came along. Sometimes the family came along. And I remember there were several times, if I remember correctly, the first service, which was on a Monday night, after we got back to our house, or he got there, he made a comment about the amount of people you had tonight. Is that usual? And I would say this to the glory of God. I said, brother, you can expect that this is the amount of people that will be attending every night. I said, maybe Sunday night, it'll be an exception. There'll be maybe neighboring churches, but you can depend on it that everybody basically will be here every night. Can we still say that? I don't know. I'm afraid we cannot. This morning, do you love the church of Jesus Christ? Do your children know that you love it? Shall we kneel in prayer? Our righteous eternal Father, we come to you this morning with praise, with gratitude in our hearts, to thank you for your Son that was willing to leave the glories of heaven and to come down on this earth and give his life for each one of us, shed his blood so that we can be cleansed and stored in the right relationship with thee. Thank you for each one present this morning. Thank you for this congregation, its leaders, its members. Lord, bless us in such a way that we can be united together under the headship of your Son, and that we can live in such a way that we can be like a light on a hill, that others too want to come to you and to serve you and love you. Bless each one present here and take glory to thyself. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.